Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, chapter 2. Ajamya, delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. Text 14.
Sankhejam parihasyam va Dobam helam eva va Sankhejam
as an assignation
Parihasyam
jokingly
va
or
Stobham
as musical entertainment.
Helanam
neglectfully.
Eva
certainly.
Va
or
Vaikuntha
of the Lord.
Namagrahanam
chanting the holy name.
Ashesha
omniscient.
Agrahanam,
neutralizing the effect of sinful life.
Vidu,
advanced
transcendentalist,
no.
One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unrelated sins. Even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. Next verse.
Patitatskarito bhagna sangashtastata ahata ayahitya vishenaha kumana hatiyatana.
If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful.
Therefore, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 6,
Yam yam bhavi smaran bhama jajate kalevaram tam tam vaiti gondeya sadatat bhava bhavita.
Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail.
If one practices chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he is naturally expected to chant Hare Krishna when he meets with some accident. Even without such practice, however, if one somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, when he meets with an accident and he dies, he will be saved from hellish life after death.
Om Ajnanamanda
Syanjana Shalakaya Chakshunamalitam Yena Tanjavana Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
First of all,
Agaharam, neutralizing the effect of sinful life, is a sign of intelligence in life to know that there is such a thing as sinful action and reaction. You don't find that intelligence these days, as people are convinced that everything is self-centered, self-defined. You as an individual decide what's right for you. You as an individual establish your own standards. And if you break your own standards, it's all right. In this way, people are encouraged to prescribe their own conduct and forgive themselves.
one of the popular New Age affirmations.
You know, they have to recite things.
I am wonderful. I will become wealthy. I'm a nice person. I am forgiving. I am caring. You recite these things every morning. That's what they listen to them on tapes. Another one of these that you recite, I forgive myself. You done it? Yeah. I forgive myself. You should love yourself, and then you can love others. You should forgive yourself. You should have your own principles. You should have your own standards. And if you break them, well and good. It's all right. In this way, everything becomes a closed circle, a loop that feeds into itself. No one is concerned that there is some overall, overarching standard of what is to be done and what is not to be done. In this way, people are becoming demons. That is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Pravittam cha, nivittam cha, janana vidurasana. Krishna says, those who are demoniac have no idea what to do or what not to do. Now we may take such an affliction as no big deal. So what if I don't know what to do or what not to do? So many people don't know what to do or what not to do. Anyway, who can tell you what to do or what not to do? It's up to you to find your own happiness. So many parents raise their children in that way. You just find what's happy for you. As long as you're happy, then we as your parents are happy. Do what you can, do what you like, but just find your own happiness. This is the highest morality we can. In this way, people are quickly being converted into cats and dogs. If you study the behavior of animals, sometimes I go to zoos and study the animals, you'll see that there is not much difference between human beings and animals. Once you kick out this overarching standard of what is to be done and what's not to be done, then there's no more human life. Doesn't matter how many computers you have. Doesn't matter how high-tech you are, if you throw out the standard of universal control, then there's no more human life. It's a very serious situation where people do not take seriously that there are codes, universal codes, that they have to follow. There are universal standards which they have to adhere to. People don't take that seriously anymore. Although the amazing thing is, at the same time, they're trying to find that universal laws of nature in terms of matter. They're trying to find unified field theory. They're trying to find laws of matter that they speculate are true throughout the universe. How will they know? The same people who say that there's only life on Earth, they try to present you with the universal laws of nature that apply everywhere in the cosmos. All they can say, if they're honest, is that as far as we know, there are these laws of matter. Of course, you can read in the Bible about higher planets in which the laws of nature, as we know them, don't apply. In this way, people's attention is focused on matter and its actions and reactions. Let's try to find the underlying principles of matter and its reactions. What about the underlying principles of conscious behavior? What about that? No one cares. That's up to you. Just look at your own heart. Follow your heart. But the heart is so dirty. You follow a dirty heart, your problems become worse. So this is what you're dealing with right now. This is the problem. People have not been trained to understand that there is a universal standard of behavior. If you can't understand that, then you're not civilized. This chapter is presenting a high-level debate
about what are the proper standards of behavior, what is the universal reaction for action. The Vishnudutas are instructing the Yamadutas, wait a minute, you can't take Ajamila. By doing that, you're going to ruin the whole cosmic system. Now, the Yamadutas, they have presented their point. How can you stop us from taking Ajamila? He is completely sinful. Don't you know that? We're doing the right thing. Look at his life. He lived with a prostitute. He ate food cooked by a prostitute. He plundered. He robbed. He stole. Just to please the prostitute. The Shastra explained that when men become attached to illicit sex life, they do anything to try to fulfill their desire. Their whole life becomes destroyed. Ajamila was like that. The Yamadutas thought, he's ours for sure. Now he's going to get his due. They have a point. The more that you violate the laws of nature during your life, the more you suffer in the future and in the present. Ajamila's suffering was to have begun in terms of his next life suffering. Actually, he had already suffered during his life because the effects on the physical and mental aspects of our life caused by sinful activity are definitely there. It's not that, okay, I'm engaged in sinful activity, yeah, I know I'll suffer in the future, but right now I'm having a good time. No. If you're smart, you'll be able to see how sinful activity causes an immediate reaction. Immediate suffering is there. You become ignorant. Sinful activity strips us of our intelligence. It strips us of our sensitivity to the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sinful activity ruins your health, destroys your mind. You may notice that people are becoming more and more deranged these days. They can't concentrate. They're coming from such backgrounds of abuse. The family's breaking down. Everyone knows in Australia, family life is, it may be there, it may not be there. So many people are going to be living alone. Because lust cannot satisfy, therefore the anger, the wrath increases, which leads to violent abuse. There's so much emphasis on sex life. This will do it for you. This is what everybody's happy doing. Everyone else is happy in this way. Why aren't you? There must be something wrong. And then when the inevitable disappointment comes, people get angry, but they can't see the cause. The cause is their belief in material happiness. No, they blame the other person. Therefore, there's violence, there's abuse, spouse abuse, abusing children. The young man just thought, there's no doubt this person should go to hell, Ajamila. That's the way it is. We're doing our job. There's no mystery about Ajamila. He had a nice Brahmana wife. He dumped her to marry a prostitute. And he ate food cooked by her. Most people, they don't understand the so-called subtleties of what happens when you eat food cooked by persons of different kinds. The Yamadutas knew. Not only has he lived with this prostitute, he ate her food. You're going to get him. His conscience is so wicked. He's ours.
He also stole, robbed, burgled, home invaded. Those are satisfying. Now the Vishnu Gurus have intervened. And they are saying, wait a minute. If a government punishes a person who's innocent, this is a very great disturbance to society. How can you punish an innocent person? How can you take away, this is John Neal, the purpose of the government is to protect the innocent. But you're attacking this innocent man. Now how can a John Neal be innocent? You point out the Vishnu Dudas. They explain, he has chanted the holy name of the Lord, therefore now he is innocent. During his life, he chanted offenselessly, calling his son the lion. Somehow when he managed to chant offenselessly due to his past purity, due to his good fortune. And at the time of death, he also chanted the name of Narayana offenselessly. Therefore, here we are to intervene on his behalf. He is innocent. This is a great moment in religious history. This is an amazing event. Someone has obviously sinful as Ajahnya is declared innocent by the Vishnu Dudas because of his having chanted the holy name of the Lord of Pastors. Sometimes devotees get a bit bewildered by this section of Bhagavatam. They think, well, it doesn't mean that anyone who just chants Hare Krishna these times, they're considered innocent. No. You see, Ajamil managed to chant offenselessly, Namaparad. He had managed to chant the holy name past the first stage, the Namaparad stage. He had managed to chant within the middle category, Namavas. Therefore, his sinful reactions were exterminated. The holy name is independent in any circumstance, any situation. You cannot restrict Krishna. Somehow or other, Ajamil managed to chant offenselessly, not purely, not in the third stage of chanting, Shukhanam, but in the middle stage. And that middle stage can give liberation. The third stage, as you know, is entrance to the spiritual world, pure love of Krishna. But the middle stage, which is just a glimpse of pure chanting, can finish off your sinful reaction. So Ajamil, due to his past purity and due to his good fortune, had managed to chant in an offenseless way. Offenseless way means almost completely free of offenses. Like when the first rays of the sun rise. Just the first rays of dawn are enough to cause changes. Similarly, just the first rays of the holy name going in your life cause changes. As significant as liberation, freedom from material existence. So now the Vishnu Dudas are educating Yama Dudas in the glories of the holy name. We should be concerned about our sinful reactions. Any intelligent person understands. I've done so many things in this life and previous lives. How will I deal with these sinful reactions? Ajamil, he'll also be aware of that, in spite of his getting the mercy of the Vishnu Dudas. He'll be aware that I've done so much sinful activity. So when the Vishnu Dudas depart, Ajamil is going to go to Hardwar and fully absorb himself in devotional service before going back to God. When you get mercy, you also have responsibility. Just like we have somehow or other come to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Now we have the responsibility
to keep ourselves free from sinful activity and deepen our absorption in devotional service. This is our career. We are the Devotional Service Corporation. We want to rise on the corporate ladder of more absorption in devotional service. The corporate ladder in Bhakti Yoga does not consist of positions, it consists of absorption in devotional service. That is what we are about. But we cannot effectively absorb ourselves in devotional service if we are implicated in sinful activity. Therefore, a devotee is always trying to constantly adjust his or her life so that sinful activity has no opportunity to enter. A devotee is constantly reinventing his or her life, polishing, reshaping, reforming, adjusting to accomplish two purposes, positive and negative. The positive is how to become more attractive to Krishna. The negative is how to become protected from sinful life. These are the two concerns of the devotee. When you don't find those two concerns, then you have prakritabhakta, neophyte devotee, materialistic devotee. Believes in Krishna, but does not understand the depths of Krishna consciousness, nor is such a person willing to take the initiative for constantly adjusting their life to provoke more attachment to Krishna and less risk of sinful life. As devotees, we should not be afraid of this constant adjustment. You know, anything about sail. You constantly have to adjust the sail. Driving down the road, you constantly have to make sure you're in the center of the lane. None of you have cars which are automatic pilots. No, you have to hold on to the steering wheel and be mindful of where you're situated. None of you have relationships at home. None of you have marital relationships which are on automatic pilot. No, you have to put your time in to balance and negotiate and discuss and resonate. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart. So why is it that when it comes to our spiritual life, we don't sometimes feel the need to constantly adjust, constantly refine? In fact, we may feel a little disturbed by that. Okay, I surrendered to Krishna once a few years ago. Why do I have to keep, you know, trying to distill my life? Wasn't one time enough? Yeah, I was in the ashram a few years ago. Yeah, I did what they told me. Isn't that enough? Why can't I be left in peace now? I'm an older devotee. I'm a householder. I'm a sannyasi. What does I have to worry about, you know, constantly trying to stay on the mark, constantly trying to increase my attachment to Krishna, constantly becoming aware of the evils of sinful life? Don't you get to a point in bhakti where you can just kind of relax and just let it flow? Why do you have to constantly analyzing, listening to Bhagavatam class? I can't just, you know, hang out, you know, and let it all happen, you know. Come on, I've been through all this stuff before, you know, feeling guilty about sinful life, trying to control my senses, trying to be strict, trying to be fired up. I've been through all that, you know. Been there, done that. Now I just want to relax, you know. I mean, Krishna's God, yeah. Krishna's in my heart, he's in your heart. Okay, so let it be. Krishna's everything. What we don't understand is that it is a demonstration of our preliminary love for Krishna that we're constantly seeking to stay on the mark. If you didn't care, you wouldn't do that. But because you should care, you do constantly try to adjust, polish, balance yourself for better service to Krishna. That shows you care. You know, in human relationships, you can't just let the relationship sit without any effort to stimulate it, refine it, improve it. Now, you know that relationships require a proactive attitude, constantly working to understand and to resonate together. Why is it that when it comes to Krishna consciousness, we have this attitude that, well, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, yeah, I was always thinking how to be, you know, sharp in my Krishna consciousness. But now I think it's better. I'm more relaxed now. Now I'm, you know, I'm at that mature stage in which, you know, I don't have to have these anxieties anymore, you know, about trying to focus in devotional service. I do what I can. I'm sure Krishna appreciates. I do what I can, you know? One devotee told me that, you know, it's true I'm not chanting all my rounds now, but you see, after so many years, I've internalized it all, so. I gently point out to him, it seems that after so many years, you have not internalized it all because you don't understand. The holy beings are only sheltered in this world. Our devotional lives will be successful if we are constantly seeking to organize our life so the holy name of Krishna has prior place. This is what separates those devotees who are successfully getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy from those who are keeping themselves in the shadows, in the darkness, even though the light is shining. You have owls in Australia? They don't like the light. They keep their eyes closed during the day. At night, they're connected. If we want to be owls in terms of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, what can we do? Those devotees who are reaping the benefit of the golden age of Lord Chaitanya make the chanting of Hare Krishna the number one priority of their life, no matter what ashram they're in. Bhakti no Thakur says, Grihe Thakur Vane Thakur Sada Hare Govinda. No matter what ashram. Take shelter of all the name. Krishna's in your heart. Ishvara Sarvabhutam. He knows when you're sincerely trying to shape your life for keeping the Hare Krishna mantra, number one. For giving the holy name of the Lord the prime place in your life. Krishna knows. He sees your struggles. He sees your constant efforts to adjust. Kali Yuga requires that you constantly adjust your sails. Material nature is endlessly changing. That's the way it is in the ocean of material existence. We can't blame Krishna. We jumped into this ocean. The way to respond to the constant changes, vicissitudes, instability of Kali Yuga is to constantly be trying to modify your life so that the Hare Krishna mantra is firmly established as the number one thing in your day. Krishna watches for this effort and then he understands. That is a serious devotee. That devotee must develop love. Would you be impressed If someone constantly was trying to shape their day to be with you,
would you be impressed?
Anyone who's married here? Would you be impressed if your husband every day was making effort how to communicate and how to talk and how to create time for you? You would tell all your girlfriends, I have a really good deal, right? Right? Now why can't we do that for Krishna? Oh, but that's different.
You know, Krishna, you know,
he understands, you know, he takes what we throw at him, you know. We give him the scraps of our life, you know, he's got everything all anyway, but you know, it doesn't matter what we do, you know. So we mumble our jumble when we can, you know. I mean, because we believe in Krishna. You know that verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, just believe in me? No, listen. Krishna says, Satatam Kitam Tumam. Always chanting my glories. That is a symptom of Mahatma. It's not a question of believe and be saved. It's a question of chant and be saved. Yeah, you may go, you know about these evangelical churches, you know, fire groups, just believe and be saved. All right, we get to do our equivalent. Just chant and be saved. Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is personalism. It is amazing how we accept personalism in terms of our ordinary affairs, but when it comes to Krishna, we're so quick to be impersonal. We forget we're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like any person, Krishna appreciates when you're constantly trying to adjust your life to be in proper relationship with him. When you give Krishna the best moments of your day, Krishna notices that. When you're constantly trying to hear the holy name, Krishna notices that. Wouldn't you notice it if someone constantly was trying to hear what you said? I really want to understand. I really want to hear. I really want to hear you out. We can understand these things. Then we can understand why some people make it in Krishna consciousness and some people don't. It's all based on taking the holy name seriously. These chapters about Ajamiya, the Vishnu, and Yamadevas give us powerful motivation to chant Hare Krishna. To progress from the stage of offensive chanting to Namavas, the middle stage, and then, by Krishna's grace, we want to go to the stage of pure chanting. You can't put that goal off. All right now, just mumble my rounds whenever I can, do as many as I can. In the future, I know pure chanting, yeah, in the future. One day I'll worry about that. No. We should be shaping our life now so that we can have progressive chanting of Hare Krishna. We should always be thinking, chanting is just not good enough. What can I do? You're going to be thinking like that at every stage of your chanting. You're going to be thinking, it's just not up to the mark. It's just my quality is lousy. Lord Chaitanya said that himself. Jodayam eva samahadvina nirada. I'm so unfortunate that when I chant, I have no raga, no attachment. That's one of the symptoms in the perfectional stage of love of God, that you feel you don't have any love for Krishna. You're always going to feel that there's so much more to be done. One last point. Don't be afraid of the mental tug of war when you chant. Sometimes devotees, they get affected by the struggle. I try and chant, my mind is just going so many places. be confident that the holy name will triumph if you just patiently chant Hare Krishna every day. Because the holy name is Krishna, and Krishna is all attractive, gradually the holy name will take the top spot in your mind. For a while it's going to seem like the holy name is in the background and all your mental stuff is in the foreground. But it is guaranteed that if you try to chant Hare Krishna sincerely every day, one day you're going to notice it reverses. The holy name comes in the front and all the junk goes in the back. And then the junk starts to disappear even from the back. The process does work, but our problem is we don't stick to it. I wonder how many of you are prepared to embark upon a lifetime career of chanting Hare Krishna. That's basically what's required. If you look at chanting the holy name that way, it's a lifetime career, constantly going to work at improving my job skills, chanting, then you'll see the nectar that Lord Chaitanya is distributing. Any questions? Carefully chant every day and this haste will come. Don't get disheartened. Understand that that wild mind is the result of sinful life. So make sure you don't commit any new sinful activity. And patiently and carefully chant the holy name every day. You'll come out on top. Don't be disheartened. You've got a lifetime career chanting, in which you're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into all you need. Look what happened to a job deal. When you sincerely try to chant Hare Krishna, amazing things happen. You'll see. Just make the holy name number one in your day, and then you'll see what happens. Don't chant ritualistically, but give the holy name the best part of your day. Give it your best effort. Krishna's in your heart. He knows you're trying. He knows how many births you've spent absorbed in sinful life. Krishna knows all that. Krishna's not a sadist, you know. I'm going to tell you to chant Hare Krishna, even though your mind is so wild and there's no hope. And it took Krishna some kind of, you know, this hard-hearted, callous person. I'm going to give you something impossible to do. I'm going to tell you to chant Hare Krishna every day, even though your mind is so wild. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get such anxiety. I'm going to love it. It's not like that. We're the ones who bring all these trips, you know. Try to arrange a love affair with the holy name. Yeah. Especially the Westerners, you know how to arrange a love affair.
You know, from India, you simply know about it from the movies. You know, the things you do in order to start a relationship and deepen it. So why can't we do that for all the neighbors? Is the Holy Name occupying the top part of your day? Okay. So make it like that. Make a lifetime career like that. Don't be disturbed that your mind is going through its turbulence. In fact, part of that turbulence is purification. The dirt's being loosened. Just like in a washing machine, they have in the center the agitator. You know, thing in the center. And what's the purpose of the agitator in the washing machine? Ladies, you have a washing machine? What's the purpose of that agitator in the center? Why to move the clothes around? Right! So, the first thing you'll notice about the Holy Name is it's going to start, you know, moving your mind around, the dirt's going to start to be, you know, start to shake loose. Don't feel bad about that. Be happy the dirt's shaking loose. The problem is, without Paul's ego, we go, I wasn't that bad, I didn't think. Then when you start chanting, you say all this wild stuff start, you know, soaring through your mind. I've even seen people stop chanting, you know, who started, because they said, oh, this chanting is bringing me so many bad things. And then I'll understand that they had the bad things and the chanting is just revealing it and purifying. Take heart in the instructions of the Shastra to patiently chant every day. Krishna's in your heart, watching your effort. Here's a practical thing I do. You can apply it to your own life. In terms of your own lifestyle. Okay, it's Kali Yuga, and we're not going to get the perfect circumstances every morning. It's like me, sometimes I have to travel early in the morning. You know, if you're a householder, something unexpected creeps up, you know, every so often, wrecks your whole morning. So what I do, I say, okay, at least 5 days out of 7, I'm going to have optimum chanting circumstances. And I'm not going to freak out when inevitably 2 days a week, you know, I have to improvise. Because something unexpected comes up, or I have to get an early morning flight or something like that. I'm not going to get upset. What I am going to do is try to keep raising the mark from 5 days to 6 days. And be practical. In this world, it's going to be hard to get 7 out of 7. But if you get close to that, kids, you know, something's going to come up. But you try for a standard and hold the line and keep trying to raise the mark. So don't freak out, you know, when the inevitable, unpredictable things of Kali Yuga come up. You sit down and chant in the morning, everything is arranged, and then, you know, your husband or wife comes and tells you, oh, the car is not working, we got to take it to the garage real quick to get it fixed, because otherwise, you know, we can't do this during the day, can't do that, can't take the kids to school, can't buy food, and things like that over there. But you try to minimize it, and you don't freak out when these things happen. So, try to make a standard in your life, then. Okay, at least 4, 5, 6 days out of 7, I'll be right on the mark. And you beg Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda for the strength to do that. Then your life starts to get exciting. Make a little effort and then take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. You'll see the magic start to work. Without a doubt. And don't be afraid of a lifetime career of chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah.
The super soul in the heart is pleased when you hear and chant about his glories. And he reciprocates. How does he reciprocate? By cleansing the desire for material enjoyment from your heart. Krishna's not ungrateful. He's sensitive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a supreme sensitive person. He notices you're trying to hear my holy name. Okay, I'll help. Sometimes we think that, you know, Krishna doesn't care. Yeah, I'm trying to chant. Mind is wild. If that's just the way it is, you know, it's going to be no hope. Sometimes I think even devotees wonder, why did Lord Chaitanya give us this hopeless process? No, there is more than hope. There is a surety. Simply we have to stick to it.
You're saying you need to be more personalized for the name in terms of being the person. So how does one personalize it more?
I was speaking about making the personal arrangements for hearing. Just like you have a personal relationship with someone. You're a family man. Yeah. So whether it's your wife or your son, you make the arrangements for personal communication and interaction. So that's what you have to do about chanting Hare Krishna. What time in the day is best for my chanting? What time of the day would really impress Krishna if I chanted my japa? Almost always it's the morning. What arrangements do I have to make in my room when I chant? So I'll be attentive. Does Krishna really get impressed by japa while I'm driving the car? Or japa while I'm watching TV? What impresses you in communication? If your family members, while you're talking to them, they're listening. Yes, 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 yes. Hearing intently and earnestly, you really I'm definitely a functioning father, and you see how they're listening to me. You feel like you're worth something. But suppose you're talking to your family members and they're just doing something else, watching TV. Yeah, yeah, huh? What to say? Do you really have to talk about this now? What kind of message does that send? You start feeling very disheartened. I saw one funny statement from a psychologist advising married couples about how to have successful relationships. He was giving advice to the women. He said, the worst thing a wife can say to her husband, the thing that strikes fear into his heart, is what? Two words. And you know them? Two words that strike fear into the heart of the husband. And the wife said, you don't know? Let's talk. Immediately the guy says, uh-oh, what is it, it's going to be a whole 3-hour drama, it's going to be no practicality, no rationality, it's a God knows where it's going to end up, So the psychologist recommends that the lady instead of saying, let's talk, and leaving it open, the whole world could fall apart. let's talk for 5 minutes. That way the guy, can properly, adjust and give 5 minutes, can't be that bad,
Well, let's talk for 5 minutes about such and such subject matter. Then the guy doesn't freak out. But according to the psychologists and many householders, like, I've been to this village. Yeah, that's true, really. You know, men just, you know, when the ladies is let's talk, it's like, oh my God, what could you? Anything could happen, you know, this means, time for a divorce or this or moving or another child or No, that just shows you. Yeah. The point is that if we want to be, we have to be sensitive in our relationships with others. Why can't we be sensitive in our relationships with the Holy Name? That means make sensitive arrangements for chanting. First, organize the physical setting of your life for chanting. Then you can start thinking about how to deal with the mind. But if you haven't organized the physical setting, you'll never be successful dealing with your mind. The optimal circumstances for chanting Hare Krishna are in the temple room of Tulsi Devi, as the Haridas Thakur recommends. If you can't come to the temple, you can keep a Tulsi Devi at home, or in some way make an effort to have peaceful circumstances around you. But if you're chanting in the same room with your computer, with the television, with the telephone, with all the things you have to work out scattered over your desk, and forget it. Not going to happen. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.